Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. We're very glad you all have chosen to worship with us today. Please remember to sign the registry at the end of each pew and pass it down, and to check your bulletin for announcements. We do have several events happening in the next month. First, let's begin with some celebrations. We have several birthdays this week. We have Hayden. There he is. Our son, man. As well as Lydia and Sophie celebrating birthdays this week. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hayden, Lydia, and Sophie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, young people. Another celebration. I believe Scotty has an announcement. Congratulations. Well done. Well, there are so many jokes. I'm swallowing right now. I know it. The women of the church will host the annual PW Farmland Gathering on September 18th. There is a sign-up sheet for food for this event out in the narthex, and all are invited to attend. We are also going to update our prayer list in September. To make our prayer list more meaningful, if you have someone on the prayer list and wish to continue them on it, let your deacon or Susan know. Please sign up to bring refreshments for the fellowship hour. The sign-up sheets for this is downstairs in the library. The first annual choir retreat will be held Saturday at 9 a.m. at the home of Kathy and Alan Ford. Anyone interested in singing is invited to this event, and please let Kathy or Lisa know if you're coming. Our session will meet this week on Wednesday at 5:30. Today at Sherry's Kitchen, there is a barbecue fundraiser for the Rozanki Lutheran Church. The first 100 people will receive free school supplies. Now, if you don't need school supplies, there will be a donation box. Supplies collected will go to the Ministerial Alliance to be handed out to needy families. The Ministerial Alliance will meet Monday at 11 a.m. at the Baptist Church to distribute the supplies. For more information, please see Laverne. I would like to invite you all on September 25th at Book People there in Austin. I'm having a book release party. I'm releasing a book in which... I should warn them that there are some of the rituals and ideas and institutions of our church are in this book. I actually acknowledge the church in the book. And remember, it's all in good fun, with a sense of humor, which I really didn't want to talk about. And, if you remember when Pastor Dave accidentally set himself on fire, there's an homage to that in the book. Back to the serious business. The September newsletters are here a week early. Please be sure to pick one up in the narthex and sign for it. And next week, we will have our cookbooks ready to distribute. So please make sure to get the news out and be ready to buy yours next week. At this time, let us stand, let us worship the Lord. How lovely is your dwelling place, O God! My soul longs for your courts. My heart and flesh sing for joy.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise.
Let us worship God. Let us pray. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, O God of hosts, and whose hearts are highways to your eternal dominion. A day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere, and you withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly. We shall dwell as doorkeepers in your heavenly household, there to give you honor and glory that is due your name. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 63 in the Green Hymnal, Give to Our God Immortal Praise.
Thank you.
say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sin to God. With Christ as our hope, O God, we stand at the gates of your sanctuary seeking pardon. We confess that we have not worshipped you alone. Life makes its demands, and we push you to the margins. You are for leisure moments, when our own work is done. Forgive us our small minds and mistaken priorities. Restore in us the sense of your greatness and your ultimate claim upon our lives. Hear with grateful hearts that Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, ushers us into the gates of God's eternal dominion. By his own blood, he healed the estrangement between us and God, and by his sacrifice, offers reconciliation to all who believe. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
And I'd like to invite the young people to come up to the front where Charlie is, because I think we have some visitors this morning. Here comes everybody. Let's see. I know I saw them around here somewhere. Where did they go? There it is.
Thank you.
As we prepare to hear our scripture readings this morning, please join me in a prayer for illumination. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that, hearing, we will also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire, and darkness, and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the bearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to the Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At this time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yet once more, I will not shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken. That is, created things, so that we cannot be shaken, may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord. Our next hymn is number 67. Come, we that love the Lord.
We're continuing our gospel reading this morning in the Gospel of Luke, moving now to the 13th chapter, and the verses for this morning are verses 10 through 17, and I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who had had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and she praised God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said this, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. And this is the word of the Lord. Yaakov ben Eleazar knew he should have just stayed in bed and called in sick. Something had told him that things would not go smoothly that Shabbat at the synagogue. Rumor had it that that upstart rabbi from Nazareth and his followers were in town. Why couldn't the man have just stayed in his wood shop? Everyone talked about what beautiful work he did. Perfectly joined pieces, intricate detail. The man was an excellent carpenter. It was like he and the wood became one. You'd think that would be enough for any man. Well, maybe he was having a midlife crisis when he walked out of the wood shop one day and went down to the river where that crazy John the Baptizer was preaching. Next thing anybody knew, the carpenter had become a rabbi going around the countryside. The stories Yaakov ben Eleazar had heard about Jesus puzzled him. Obviously, the man knew scripture. He could debate it with the most learned of men. He kept saying things like, "You have heard it said that," and then quoting Torah. But he wouldn't stop there. There was always that next part. "But I say unto you." And then he would sort of hold that teaching up and give a new interpretation of it. Or he would tell a story that would make you wonder about what you had always thought was right. No one could find error in Jesus' teaching, but it was so, well, different from other interpretations. Jesus seemed awfully sure of what he was saying. He never quibbled over the finer points. "This is what the kingdom of God is like," he would say. Well, that would have been unsettling enough all by itself. But then there was all that other business, the supposed miracles. Dead people brought back to life. A huge crowd fed from some boy's meager lunch. Violent storms that just stopped when Jesus spoke. Whispers and questions about whether Jesus might actually be the long-hoped-for Messiah. Well, thought Yaakov ben Eleazar, Jesus wasn't the first person to be mistaken for Messiah and probably wouldn't be the last. They all got themselves killed sooner or later and then were forgotten. And yet, Yaakov had heard Jesus was in the area. He offered a quick prayer to the one whose name cannot be spoken. "Please," he said, "don't let Jesus show up at the synagogue today. I really don't need that kind of aggravation." After all, Jesus had a way of showing up, stirring up the local folks, and then moving on to the next place, leaving the local leaders like Jacob to deal with the sticky questions that always followed. Jacob shook his head. Yeah, maybe he did feel a little fever coming on. Let his assistants take over this morning. But he was a synagogue's leader and duty as always called. So he finished getting dressed and headed out the door. As he drew near the synagogue, he noticed a larger than usual crowd gathering. There were a number of unfamiliar faces. His headache suddenly got worse. And then he heard it. A beautiful voice, teaching, speaking the ancient words. The words poured over him, soothing his soul. It was almost like the Holy One was speaking directly to him. The voice was gentle, but the words were spoken with a power he had never heard before. Jacob stood quietly. So this was Jesus. He began to relax a little. His headache gone. People continued to arrive. Maybe everything would go all right after all. The villagers turned to greet him as they streamed in. And there was poor Miriam making her way through the crowd. Such a sad story, really. It had been almost 20 years now since the woman's spine had begun curving downward. In his mind's eye, Jacob could still see her as she had been when they were both children, with the other children, running quite fast for a girl. He remembered her as a young woman whose perfect posture made carrying water jars on her head look easy. But now every year, she grew a little more bent. Yet Jacob knew that she bore her infirmity quietly, and despite it was still able to find joy in the simple pleasures of life. It certainly never affected her faithful observance of Shabbat or attendance at any of the other services. She walked slowly, holding the arm of one of her grandchildren, pain etched into the lines of her face. But was there something else there today as well? Was that hope Jacob saw in her eyes? Oy vey. Surely she didn't expect Jesus to do something for her, did she? Then Jacob relaxed. After all, it was a Sabbath, and Jesus was well aware of the laws that kept Shabbat holy. And tomorrow he'd probably be gone, so... But even as he was having this conversation with himself, he realized Jesus had stopped speaking. He glanced at the rabbi and saw Jesus looking straight at Miriam. Jacob caught his breath and looked to heaven. No, no, please, no. And then he heard Jesus speak her name. It got worse. Jesus reached out, took Miriam gently by her shoulders, bending down to look into her eyes, and said ever so gently, "You were freed from your infirmity." Turning her head so that she could keep her eyes on Jesus, Miriam began to straighten up, not stopping until she stood as tall and as straight as she had as a young girl. People standing around her gasped. With one last look at Jesus, Miriam began singing praises to the Holy One of Israel. Others found their voices and began responding to the ones who had not seen what had happened. "He healed her. The rabbi has healed Miriam." After 18 years, Miriam is standing up straight. I told you, the others proclaimed. I told you he was the one we had heard about. The buzzing of the voices grew louder, beginning to drown out even Miriam's singing. Some folks began running out of the synagogue to fetch others who were sick or injured. Some just wanted to be the first with the news. Jacob looked around with growing distress. Things were getting out of hand, and it was his job to make sure they didn't. His headache returned with a vengeance. Enough already. So he stood up in his accustomed place and held up his hands for attention. The congregation slowly grew silent. They turned to look at him, glaring at Jesus, who was still sitting there quietly watching him. Jacob began to speak to the people. He had to shout at first. "We've been given 6 days of the week to do our work. Come back then and be healed. This is not how we were taught to observe Shabbat. This is not what the Holy One of Israel wants from us. Let us observe the holy day as we know we should." Had they displeased the Holy One? Had they transgressed the Sabbath? Jacob began to hope that the day might not be a total disaster as the congregation began to look embarrassed and ashamed. Then Jesus began to speak again. But any hope that Jacob held for a proper end to the morning vanished with Jesus' response. "You all work on the Sabbath," he said, looking directly at Jacob. "Think about it. You untie your animals from their usual restraints on the Sabbath so that they can move freely and get water, don't you? That's allowed. That's the right way to treat your animals." Confused, they looked around and at Jacob. Jacob looked at them and shrugged. "Of course we do that. Our animals deserve as much. Anything else would be cruel. So what?" they were all thinking. Jesus continued, "So why wouldn't it be right to free this woman on the Sabbath? She's a child of that covenant you want so badly to protect." People turned to look at Jacob for an answer, but try as he might, he could think of no proper response to Jesus' question. What good was all those years of study if a wandering rabbi could create such a dilemma? Why wasn't he able to explain things properly to the people? Embarrassed and frustrated, Jacob turned and walked away, brushing aside all the people who kept trying to get him to give them some kind of an answer. All those centuries of studying the law, all of the brilliant and devout minds that had pondered the ways that God's chosen people could serve God by obeying God's law. The law, it was the very core of the religious belief. Adherence to the law was what made one a Jew. You didn't mess with law. In fact, there were rules to help keep the law that had been established to create a fence around it so that if you broke a rule, you could stop before you actually broke the law. The law. It had been handed down for the people from the Holy One to Moses on Mount Sinai, a place made so sacred by the Holy One's presence that anyone who even touched the mountain would die. Jacob found himself growing angry. Who did this Jesus think he was? How dare he challenge the oral Torah? Jacob would find the answer. He gathered up the holy scrolls and began to read. Jacob wasn't the only one struggling with those questions. All the Jews who took their religion seriously had been forced to face Jesus' challenges to the way they kept their faith. The writer of the Hebrews certainly had, which is why he wanted his fellow Jews to understand that they were no longer former slaves standing before Mount Sinai, waiting for the Mosaic law that would represent their relationship with God. Instead, they were now among the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven because of Jesus, not Moses, who was the mediator of a new covenant. Now, instead of Mount Sinai, they had come to a new mountain. Mount Sinai was behind them, and Mount Zion, that mountain of promise, that hope for all that was wonderful and glorious and holy and the best place that you could imagine, Mount Zion was right there in front of them. As their ancestors had once listened to Moses speak God's word, now they had heard and seen God's word made flesh. Things had changed, even as the eternal had remained. Jesus was introducing them and us to a new mountain, a new way of being in the world, a new way of looking at God, ourselves, and each other. You see, the key to Luke's story is that what Jesus says and does matters. It breaks in and restructures our usual way of being in the world. It challenges us to think about the way we relate to God. Because the God that Jesus introduces us to, a God who seeks the lost and tends the broken, a God who puts mercy ahead of law and compassion before custom, a God who forgives sinners and welcomes all people to table, this God is never what we or the world expects, yet is just the God we desperately need. For this God is also desperate in his own way to meet us, to embrace us, to redeem us. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and say what we believe using the words from the Apostles' Creed found on page 14 of our blue hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And I invite you to pray silently as I give voice to our prayers. Almighty God, as we lift our eyes unto the hills, remind us that our help comes from you. Remind us that we no longer are tied to that mount where the law kills, but we have a new place, a different place not made with human hands, not created, but a place that God has for us. And so we give you thanks that God desires for us to be in relationship with Him. That God loves us. That He does not want us to be His slaves, but to be His children. Help us to be always willing to listen for Your word as it comes to us, new and fresh and exciting, without ever losing the eternals. We pray for our children today as they prepare to go to school. We ask that You give them a good time at school, an opportunity to learn, to discover more about the world and themselves. We pray for their teachers as they prepare for this time, for the awesome responsibility that is theirs as they work with these children, helping them to love learning for its own sake, helping them learn how to relate to other people. We thank You for the young people in this church, for their enthusiasm, for all of the joy that they bring. We ask that You watch over those this day who are ill, who struggle with health problems, who would be here if they could. We ask that You make Your presence known to them in a particular way this day. We also lift up all who put themselves in harm's way for the rest of us, who risk their lives so that we may be safer. We give You thanks and praise for those who care for others. So much of the time, so much that they do goes unnoticed except by You. We give You thanks and praise for healing that comes in so many ways. Help us to be open to any work that You might be doing in our midst, whether or not it fits our notions of what's right. Help us to see You at work in our lives and in our world. Watch over us and keep us now as we go from this place into the world to be Your people in a place that needs to know the good news. Guide us and bless us as we make our request known to You in the name of Your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The church is not a private club that we maintain for our own benefit. It is a mission outpost, constantly enlisting us and our resources for the spreading of good news and the increase of God's reign of love. Our offerings are one measure of how seriously we take our call as ambassadors for Christ. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
praise and adoration, we enter your temple. Thanksgiving spills from our lips as we approach your majesty. You are God, who creates in splendor. Holy and blessed is your glorious name. With your spirit to guide us, we shall strive to enter the narrow door, following Christ's teachings and the call to obey. Receive now these offerings as signs of our commitment, of our unceasing gratitudes for all the gifts you bestow. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 390, We're Marching to Zion. Thank you.